for you the question chart that we went through last time, and we did knock out a few items on there. But before we get started, Kyle Gabronson had put together some aerial photographs that kind of shows some of the decisions that you made as an illustrative thing. And I don't know if he wants to review that before we get into the weeds on some of the new items.
Towards the end of our last session last Tuesday, we started to gain a lot of momentum. And one of the last things we talked about was we discussed the separation distance between churches, schools, residences, and open lands, or private lands, public lands. I know I'm a very visual person. I think we landed at 150 feet separation from the property line at our last meeting. But I know I'm a very visual person. I think it might be helpful to take a look at what we actually discuss at that meeting. And we might come up with a different scenario, we might not, but just I think it's helpful. What we decided to do was take a real life situation on Route 1. The aerial photograph that you see in front of you is the St. Jude's Catholic Church up near Nassau. What we did, we took the current way of doing the separation distance, which is 300 feet from a church. If you recall, that 300-foot separation was also the recommendation from the alternate ordinance and as well as the Planning Commission. The draft ordinance that was initially introduced had a 500-foot separation distance. But what you see on this aerial is that sort of hot pink. I apologize for the colors. We had to find a contrasting color with the green, and it was difficult. But that circle around the church, if you will, that bright pink color is 300 feet of separation from the church. Now, if you look at Route 1, which is just to the south, those little red dashes are existing billboards today. So that's the 300-foot separation from the church. The larger circle is a 500-foot separation. So that just gives you some scale, if you will, of what that separation distance is.
A question to anybody, would those billboards directly across the highway, are they in violation then of our current ordinance?
I would imagine they're probably either pre-existing the regulations.
Yeah, they can still stay up.
But they would be, I'm just saying, would they be in violation under our current ordinance? I would assume.
They would be non-conforming.
Non-conforming.
So that's another category of non-conforming billboards.
Okay, or we'd be curious if they're new or older, we don't know. Okay, but that's...
I like the 500.
Okay.
Well, just, Mr. President, I'm sorry.
Sir,
just to I don't have the notes from last week in front of me, but did we have a consensus to on these boundaries, on these distances, based on property lines
where we
for churches?
At
my
the
memory
last
was
meeting.
150 feet from the property line.
Was
right.
It
correct.
Consensus?
Right.
Is that what that's going to
that
be
was three,
yeah,
three
right.
You had that consensus.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you have that illustration of a... You do. There you go.
You should
go.
Have
okay.
A aerial
yellow.
With
oh, yeah.
A
yeah.
Yellow
okay.
Boundary.
Very good.
And that indicates... That rendering indicates 150 feet. Mm-hmm. From the church property line, as well.
That drawing too, right?
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's
no.
The same.
Oh, this is different. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's got a yellow line.
This one. This one. Right here.
Just
there
make sure
we go.
Everyone has the right. This one.
This one here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm watching.
Okay.
One
yeah. Take care of me, Jim.
Just yellow line.
Uh-huh.
This one.
Okay.
Oh, just yellow line. Okay. Just yellow.
You got it. This rendering indicates 150 feet from the property line of the church and also residential uses surrounding the church. So again, the Route 1 corridor, everything beyond the commercial is residential. So you see what the impacts there are for measuring from the property line.
I'm confused. I understand the yellow one is 150 foot buffer from property lines of the church and dwellings.
Residential properties.
Okay, and the light pink one is, we're talking about the buffer from actual dwellings. Okay. That really is widespread. Kind of kooky, huh?
So you can see the difference there.
Yeah, the 300 foot from the church itself is the red. That's what we're looking up here.
That's measuring 300 feet from the structure, and that's how we do it today.
Right, from the church structure, okay. And why are you, what's about the tax parcels? What are you mentioning? What is that?
Well, I think this, the rendering with using the yellow line, measuring from the property line, one of the issues that we're going to have, I think, measuring from property line is how are we going to define residential property? Because anything that's zoned residential, you would assume would be a residential property. So you're really looking at measuring 150 feet from anything that's residential, if you will.
What kind of zoning do we need? We need commercial zoning, don't we? Or no?
What was that?
What kind of zoning do we need for this?
Well, I'm not talking about zoning. I'm just talking about how logistically you're going to measure those distances.
Uh-huh. We've had a consensus on 150, and you're saying you think there's could be a problem with that?
In looking at the renderings,
okay,
and just in conversations with county staff, mm-hmm, I think it's going to be easier to measure it from the structure.
Yeah, I think so. But does
right, but Mr. Arlett's concern about, you know, that parking lot might, a structure may pop up in there, then all of a sudden we lose some conformity then. Something comes into, does end of the billboard becomes non-conforming because they build a building in the, so take a, you could take a billboard that is in conformity,
mm-hmm,
a new structure gets built, does that trigger a non-conformity to the guy's billboard now?
Well, I think
we're at 150 feet, that would never happen.
Yeah, I think it's the issue of what comes first. If the billboard's there first and then someone builds later.
Yeah, I think the one way to look at it, because in our current code, you have it where that nonconformity can crop up. You have a billboard that's there and the development comes around it. The issue that you've got are the existing ones that are prior to whatever changes to this ordinance will take place, versus ones that are new and where they're coming in. So really when you're looking at this illustration, you almost kind of want to look at it two ways. One is how would this affect existing ones, but really how does this affect somebody's ability to place one, and is that potential placement the type of zoning scheme that you all would like?
Zoning scheme that we like.
Yeah, as far as, you know, the separation distances. I mean, one of the things that we looked at now was we currently have it's 300 feet from existing billboards on a radius, and what the last meeting was 600 feet, same side of the road, so it's a little further.
Mm-hmm.
Slight difference in how it's calculated, mm-hmm, but it does have some impact. So when you look at these things holistically, we're trying to, you know, that's where we wanted to have, you know, Mr. Colbronson put together some visuals to, mm-hmm, kind of illustrate that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what staff feels that it's going to be much, I guess, easier to manage or whatever if we do it from the structure versus, mm-hmm, the property.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you look at our Board of Adjustment meetings, the number of hearings that are requested because there's been an error in the measurement from a property line, because our staff can't tell where a property line is. But if instead you're measuring from a building, it's easier for the staff or for survey purposes to measure from that building.
But why, in a Board of Adjustment hearing, a shed, you're required to have a survey before you place your shed, right?
I think the issue comes up where there's been instances of like a certificate of compliance being granted in previous years where it's difficult to actually tell, you know, I'll give you an example. Front property line may not match up with the edge of paving. There might be a 10-foot gap there. And someone may say, well, I think it's the, you know, right there. Or maybe they're measuring from the telephone pole.
But why can't we require a survey for a billboard to be placed?
Don't we?
Is that what the suggestion is? No survey required for a placement of a billboard? We're just going to
measure
with a tape measure 300 feet?
I think that would still be required. I think.
Then what is they can identify property lines?
Yeah, I mean, the issue I think with measuring from property line is if you have, say you have vacant residential land behind a commercial parcel, you have to treat that as residential. So you're going to measure 150 feet from a vacant field, possibly.
Because it already is.
It might not be developed for another 20 years.
It already is residential, AR.
Yeah. Well, to that point, though, again, it gets the I'm sorry, Mr. President. I apologize. But again, you know, we're trying to plan here, right?
Right.
So, and trying to be responsible, trying to be pro-business, trying to do a lot of things here. So in the end, you know, I think we have to plan for the future, which is what we're trying to do here, correct? Mm-hmm. So to me, it gets back down to the onus, and I understand. I mean, existing building is here. It's a lot easier. I understand that.
Right.
But I will tell you that, you know, buildings typically are going to be added along major corridors, correct, which is where these billboards are going to be placed,
yeah.
and not removed,
yeah.
correct? So to me, I think, again, if we're trying to be responsible in our decisions and judgment, the property lines are very likely not to move. And so to me, it's just common sense. Why would we not want to do the property line? Because that's not going to move.
Yeah.
Buildings can be added, which they will very likely be added as we continue to grow and evolve. And so this is just very defined for all parties and the general public too, because if we do based on the distance of a building and somebody adds a building, all of a sudden,
it feels
tightened, correct? Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden those buildings are now much closer to those billboards, and that doesn't do anybody justice, I don't think, in the general public.
Well, they see it before they build it, so.
So in any event, I'll go back to that original concept of property lines don't move and buildings
move.
Are added.
Subdivisions lines.
That's all.
They do move. I beg the difference with you. They do move.
Well, as I said before on multiple occasions.
You can sell a piece of property, put property line where you want to put it.
Yeah.
They do move.
Well, let me reiterate what I have said more than once. It is a high probability that buildings will be added much more so than property lines will be moved.
But what's a sign?
We all know there's
let's have one person at a time talking.
More than likely, when you got a building there, it stays there.
It doesn't. It doesn't apply.
It's a joke to say you don't move property lines. I know property lines do move. If I want to sell a piece of property, I can move property lines. I can tell you that now. I know property lines moved up there. Old Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Vince is working on that letter right now, trying to get it straightened out, I hope.
Sure. That's a lot of that.
Okay, but next, Mr. Cole.
No, I'm just saying, Sam, right. We all understand that. I think that what Rob is saying, in the majority of the cases, property lines are a pretty good indicator of and they're not going to change. Do we concern, like when we're looking at this St. Jude's Church in the C1 zones, we're not worrying about 150 feet from C1 zone to C1 zone.
No, it's the actual property line of the church. Mm-hmm.
Residential properties, and things like
uh-huh.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though St. Jude's Church was probably in that zone, was it ever C1? Or is it currently C1 under that church?
I think it's zoned MR right now.
Uh-huh.
It was zoned MR. Because I know, didn't they go back 600 feet or something like that along that area? I don't know. Maybe that was only from 5 points east.
Yeah.
But anyway...
We can
go around in circles. I'm still, I think, with Rob. You got to get a survey. A property line is a pretty good indicator. 150 feet. When I look at these maps, it appears to be pretty much, unless you're the 300 feet wouldn't help St. Jude's Church because 300 feet is within their property line.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they could put a billboard right on the property line. Okay, and what we're saying.
Yeah, if you actually look at the one that has the multiple colors,
yeah.
which has the 150
yeah.
and a 300,
uh-huh.
it's sort of a, you gain in some locations, you lose in other locations.
Yeah, it's a wash.
Yeah.
I don't see it being that big a thing. So, I think that when you look at 300 feet from St. Jude's Church, you're still within their parking lot, so that means they could put it right on the property line. What we're trying to do is give a little distance and separation. And it would be uniform throughout, so I'm still comfortable with the 150 feet, Mr. President. I don't know if we want to try to get another consensus on the consensus that we had.
Well,
where we had a consensus. Over
that's
consensus,
a very,
consensus.
Very sensitive area in particular.
I don't know.
I would like to have as wide a space as I possibly can because that whole area is hideous.
Okay. Are you comfortable still with the 150-foot separation? Property line?
Is that going to give us the best?
Well, I don't know what the best is. It's just a way to do it. And when you look at this, it does do what Rob wants to do, but it also would prohibit a billboard on the property line between the church and the next zone, C1, right?
It appears you still have your three votes, so I think let's move on.
I don't see a change.
Just one last comment in regard to that, if I may. And then we'll keep moving forward. And that would be, is, again, I'm not looking to add an additional burden on the business owner, but my share your thought on this, and that would be, is, do they give me a percent? Okay, when they get a billboard, okay, and they have to install it on a piece of parcel right now, give me a percent of how many times that they will do a survey.
Oh, I think that they're doing a survey every time they're applying for one right now.
Okay, so
because they're having to demonstrate when they go in for a permit,
right,
that they're so far away from a structure. So I think what's happening is the surveyor is able to point, here's the edge of that sign, and I can go 300 feet that way, and I can tell how close that structure is. The thing that's tricky is he may not exactly know where the property line is, because there may not be a pin there, or now he may have to, there may be an intervening property, like in the aerial that you have here, there's some intervening properties there. So he may have to go on to that other property to figure that out, and then you've got a whole host of issues that the applicant may have. I think that was one of the concerns that
the
staff
billboards aren't going to the rear of these properties, they're up there by the highway.
That'd be correct.
So they don't really need surveys showing rear property lines that aren't going to be anywhere impacted, you know, on this sign. The key will be along the road frontage, the property line that's closest there along the road frontage where the sign's going to be placed. So we only need to know so many feet back. So maybe that's the thing you just put back, that survey required of property that's within of the road frontage where the sign's going to be located. I don't care. I mean, who cares about something's 300, you know, property line way in the back, all those other property lines?
Well, again, if we're talking the 150-foot separation distance from the residential lands from where the sign is located, that may be in the example that you have here, there's several signs that are within that, particularly within, you know, I believe the one that's on the westbound side of Route 1 particularly. That would be an example of one where, you know, depending on where those residential properties lie and if there could be a commercial property in between that fits in, that's where you kind of run into some of the...
My personal opinion is I don't see a need to go across the highway to get the 150 feet. The 150 feet should be on the same side of the road. What would you call that, lineal or something?
Lineal.
Anyway, well, along that one side of the road, when you're on a four-lane highway and you got a billboard across from St. Jude Church, I don't see an impact as much of an impact as one that would be just abruptly next to it. So I could easily have no problem with on four lane roads.
Well, that would be
150 feet is only on that side where the signs.
And that would be a slight difference from what we had with the consensus before, because the consensus before had it as a you measure radius 150 feet from the property line from dwellings, churches, schools,
well,
and
just
public lands.
As a compromise, I guess, over some of these other things. I don't know. Anybody got any thoughts on that, real quick?
Well, in theory, too, the right-of-way of Route 1 is so wide that if you have a sign that's set back 50 feet from the right-of-way on the east side of Route 1, you're not going to be within 150 feet of the opposite side.
Bingo.
Perhaps for this, Mr. President, what we could do is whenever we have that special meeting, we will have a chart prepared that shows what consensus has been reached. And if we can have some illustrations that would show it, just to confirm that that's what you all would want.
That'd be fine.
Okay. I think that would make the most sense.
Pictures are always better than just...
Yeah.
And then confirm that's what you all want to move
on.
Sure,
that'd be fine.
Well, I'm iffy because that's a very touchy thing there.
Understood. The first issue, it was number one in your question chart that was left over from the last meeting. It deals with abandoned signs. There was a consensus that 6 months of an off-premise sign being abandoned billboard would be that would kind of be the cutoff. The question was about whether we wanted to have anything in there about on-premise signs. I think Mr. Arlette had some concerns about that particular business.
Yeah, just to revisit that concern is as it relates to the permit. So, you know, if somebody actually has a paid permit and they're in good standing as it relates to their permit, you know, how could we as a county go on and say that you're abandoned and then deal with these consequences when they have an active in good standing permit?
Well, to that end, Mr. Gulbronson had done some research on what some other places do with that, and I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, and I think your point is very valid. And a lot of communities, they actually do that. As long as the permit is still in good standing and valid, it's not considered an abandoned sign, even right. if there's no advertising going on at that present time. So I think that might be the key that we could use.
As long as the business is active, right?
No.
So you can have an abandoned building and
typically these signs
keep
are
the on-premise sign.
The renewal's good for a year.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a business, say you've gone out of business, and you've got a sign permit for a year, if you're still out of business, you're not going to come back the next year and get a sign permit.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize, but when you say business, Councilwoman, and that is, are you referring to the business that's on the billboard, or are you talking about the business that owns the billboard? When we're saying business,
billboards right now. We're talking on-premise signs.
On-premise.
So the signs that are advertising a business that is on the same site where the sign is.
Do we have a definition of abandoned? Because if the building's abandoned,
yes.
Abandoned building and abandoned sign should be, if we have the right definition,
yes.
They ought to be tied together.
Absolutely.
So you can't have an abandoned sign without an abandoned building.
Essentially, the difference there, because in both of them say a sign that no longer identifies or advertises an ongoing business, product, location, service on the premise on which the sign is located. That's the abandoned on-premise. Abandoned off-premise is a sign that no longer directs attention to a business, commodity, entertainment, service conducted, sold, or offered elsewhere than upon the premises where the sign is maintained. So the key distinction there is one's off directing something to a business that's on the site where the sign is versus one that's directing something to a site
with
where
it's off. With what Mr. Arlette said, though, it certainly makes sense. If somebody's got a permit for the sign and then all of a sudden nothing's on there, they still got a permit that's a year long. How do you take away their permit?
Suppose
they come in month 11 put something back up there.
It has conditions.
Well, and I think one of the other, play devil's advocate here, the other concern you could have is that somebody has a sign that's been abandoned, there's been no business there for years, and they're just continuing to pay their fee because, you know, I don't want to lose the right to the sign when perhaps they really don't have a desire to take care of the sign or have another business go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I think that abandoned, I would think it gets back down to what is the enforcement piece? In other words, if there is a billboard that's up there and it's a business that a vinyl, if you would, that is up there that is no longer in business, the owner of the billboard is still. And I'm getting back to the off premise again. And I will share with you. I'm a little confused on or off because it's not mentioned on here.
Well,
as far as which one we're talking about here, just so you know that.
Because when we initially brought it up last time, Mr. Arlette, it was for both. And then at the last meeting, we came to consensus as to off-premise.
So
billboards had been
And that's fine. But moving forward, if you would, to help my simple mind, or confused mind, if you would, if you could, on these questions, just if you would share which one we're talking about, on, off, or both. Maybe something like that. So therefore, as we are looking through this, we know specifically which one we are referring to. That would be great. So
I'm still again, I got a problem with abandoned. I'm a landlord. That's my business. So I have a building and a sign was all erected at the same time. You know, and the sign can be whatever, as long as the building's in good repair, and you know, is not considered. When I think of an abandoned house, I think something that's about to fall down. That's not livable, et cetera, but it's been totally neglected. But if I'm keeping up a nice building and somebody's moved out and the market's a little slow, I don't consider it abandoned. It's my business. I'm just having a slow time. I'm not doing very well.
When I think, Mr. Colter, at that point, one of the I think at the last meeting, one of the questions was do we care? And should we care about abandoned on-premise signs. There seemed to be some concern about off-premise signs and that, you know, you've got a billboard, you should, if it's not being used, we've got a substitution clause that would allow you to put PSAs and whatnot on there so it could be used. The question really became, you know, is that something that council wishes to concern themselves about?
Well, I look at the definition of abandoned is left without needed protection or care, left by the owner, no longer held or thought of, given up. So, I mean, if we can somehow determine that somebody's given up here, and we got all this, and, you know, we ought to do something with that in that point. But, you know, once they've been permitted and they're there, I don't see why we should be worried too much. That's not our real focus here, I don't think, has been the concern.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's been the major complaint.
On premises.
Of abandoned buildings and or storefronts, yeah. Abandoned signage. So I hate to remove one without saying the whole area, the whole entire property is abandoned or something like that. So.
Well, we do have a provision in the code that says that the director can have removed if a sign shows gross neglect dilapidation.
That's different, right?
And that's in the code right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
so that may address some of the concerns.
Yeah. So anyway, I just would just recommend we just tighten that up still. I think you've heard again and just come up with something.
It might be smart to leave it as is.
Yeah, if I understand that, so you have a building that's rented out to a business tenant.
Well,
you can't fill it again for a while. You want to keep that sign. That's an asset. Can you do that?
Right. Yeah. So like the 6 months and a year and stuff, I just don't have.
I will. I'm curious because you know the AO, the alternate ordinance, and then the P&Z recommendation both were saying 6 months. So in their determination of using 6 months, what were they envisioning?
What
I guess
I think
what
it
I mean,
was the same thing we had in the introduced ordinance. The introduced ordinance just had a definition of abandoned off-premise and abandoned on-premise, but then when you look to prohibition, it said signs abandoned on-premise signs or abandoned off-premise signs which have abandoned for more than 6 months. What they did was the alternate ordinance simply incorporated the 6 months into the abandoned off-premise and on-premise definitions so that's how you define them and then just prohibited them. So there was really no difference between the two other than I think probably a better clarification on where to put it.
Well, but I mean, again, they came up with a number of 6 months, right?
That was the number in the introduced ordinance.
And
that was the number that everybody...
Wrong. Maybe they were just misinterpreted, too. I mean, like I said, we ought to just move on.
Mr. Robertson, step up here from the P&Z side.
Right off. It's always been 6 months. The number 6 months just moved from one spot in the ordinance to another spot in the ordinance. So mm-hmm. Everybody's agreed that 6 months, that's like the
on
one thing that we've all agreed on. So
both on
it really
off.
Comes down to now just the discussion whether that 6 months applies to on or off premises signs. Mm-hmm.
And 6 months is really a national standard. If you look at most... Sign code. 6 months is what.
Let's just leave it there for the time being, and then, like I said, at the end, we'll see if we maybe we'll hear something at this big workshop.
Yeah.
Sound like 6 months where we're going to go, but we'll come back to all that.
Right. But we might want to
go to the Board of Adjustment. Get it.
Okay. The next issue was V signs, which was number two on that question chart. At our last meeting, it seemed to be that the idea floating was that 60% would be permissible, but maybe 61% would not. I think we've got.
I mean, I don't know. Is anybody still got any heartburn over 60%?
Well,
that seems like a real good.
Can you, because it's not mentioned, on or off or both? In question number
off-premise.
Two here.
Off premise.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody got any problem? I mean, 60% is.
So
it's something I think our consultant said that they used a lot of places and.
Let's do that.
That seems reasonable to me.
You're saying a V sign could not exceed
60%.
A 60%,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because then it's getting out too much that you're going to see it. One V sign.
The concern was having something like that where you could essentially.
It's too much.
Have a large billboard.
Talking degrees, correct? Not
correct.
Percent.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
60 degrees.
Yeah. Oh,
so
greedy.
I don't think that's a great big imposition. I wouldn't think so. Anyway, that's still pretty good. 60 degrees, still pretty good.
Oh, it's a heck of a good.
60.
Right. You're right.
I just
have a question real quick regarding that. I'm not against the number for this discussion here, but again, it appears that the concern of which angle, what degree of angle to go to, is all as it relates to ensuring that the applicant is not using both sides as one billboard, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why could we not just simplify that and just prevent it from happening?
We
end of story.
By saying 60%.
No, but I'm just saying, in the you shall not do that. I mean, I'm just asking the question. It appears that is the concern. So therefore,
how do you do that?
by writing it in code.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm just wondering.
I mean,
how do you say by code will prevent that?
The problem with that gets to be enforcement, you know, particularly if with vinyl signs changing, you know, it's much easier to have a numerical degrees on there than. Because then you get into, really start getting into content as well. Is it really one sign across two faces, or is it two separate signs? You know, it's just, I know what you're saying, and it's just one of those real world applications that, frankly, we've been dealing with a little bit.
Like using,
it's tough to do.
Using this right here, you could put something, say, Frank's Cafe, and over both of them, and then do we get into the point is that two separate signs, or is that one, when you've got the two sign faces? It has a potential for abuse, which is, I think, why there was a concern about trying to write something like that and legislate it that way.
And having said that, Mr. Sharp, I mean, really, put up the 90-degree thing up there. What's wrong with 90 degrees? You're not going to read a 90-degree sign as a...
And again, that comes to a degree that you all are comfortable with, that you think would be, you know, a maximum.
It'd be kind of hard to think that'd be, you would have, make one big sign of a 90-degree thing written around it. Like, I don't know that, I'm just...
You may have somebody come out on the highway. That may be the reason.
Well, that's sort of the idea, that it would pick up two highways or a curve in a highway. We see, you know, like if you have a sign on one side of a highway where there's a curve, it'll often be a V sign so that one angle of the curve sees
60 degrees catches all that. It's a good compromise to get...
Okay, do we need to miss McKinnon?
No, I'm just saying, like, we can keep throwing numbers around like crazy.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Okay. 60 degrees, okay.
Yep.
Right down there, 60 degrees, and circle that number 10.
All right. The next one was number 9.
And speed up.
Page 4 in your chart. And this deals with separation distance between off-premise electronic message centers on two-lane roads. Note, we've already come to a consensus on four-lane roads of 2,500 feet. And there was a consensus that... there was a discussion there as to whether, I believe Mr. Cole had said that he believed that they should be prohibited on two-lane roads. There was a suggestion that maybe 1,200 feet would be the appropriate separation distance on two-lane roads. There was no consensus reached on those two points.
What kind of signs are we looking at?
Electronic message center billboards.
Off-premise?
Yes. Off-premise.
Yes. I will then again say that the state of Delaware on a four-lane highway wants... as a part of the regulations, correct? 2,500 feet separation. That's on a four-lane road. Why we would make it, if anything, my logic would tell me it should be then greater on a two-lane road because you're so much closer and everything else. Anyway, so exceed 2,500 square feet, gentlemen and ladies, or take my proposal, which is basically easier one to enforce, no electronic signs are permitted on two-lane roads throughout rural Sussex County, which is where most of our roads go. And we have some spot zoning of commercial property. And we have some bad examples out there of some electronic signs, huge, that have gotten various variances.
Yep.
And I'd like to put an end to it, and that would be easy to enforce. And so I'm still thinking, in Sussex County, electronic signs on two-lane roads being prohibited.
Hideous.
Billboards, you're referring
billboards,
to.
Off-premise, off-premise signs.
Correct.
No, I think on-premise are very important. I'm not, that's a whole different ballgame.
That's what I'm hearing about.
So I would. Is there any, Ms. Deaver, would you like a complete prohibition on electronic signs?
Yes, okay, that's what I'm hearing.
There's two votes, and there's three of you down there that you can all look at each other for a minute and see what you want to do. See if anybody's got any...
Any what?
Any guts.
Guts.
Is that what you want to call it?
I'm just saying I don't think they're pleasing to the eye. Aesthetically, I think they're ugly. I don't think they're needed. We have billboards, and the ones that are up, we're not taking anything down. So whatever's there is
there.
That's
right.
And I would just say a prohibition on two-lane roads.
Well,
I'm looking at you, Mike.
I'm not sold on that.
That's okay. That's fine with me. You can do whatever you want.
I would say I think as it was mentioned last week, I'm not confident you're going to get the three votes for that one.
Well then.
So, but to reconfirm the record, the prohibition is as it relates to the state, right? You mentioned four lane roads. Well, Route 9 is under their jurisdiction, and that is a two lane road. So they permitted on that two lane road as of today, correct? I mean, it's just just to reaffirm, I mean, per the state.
I'm not going to let one two-lane road and DLDOT's regulations steer me on making a decision here for Sussex County. So you can do it any way you want. If you think a regulation that the state has is going to guide you on your decision, God bless you. Go ahead.
I'm just correcting the record is all I'm doing.
No correction. No, the point is four-lane roads, 2,500 feet separation is what the state requires. That's a true statement.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, Route 9 is a two-lane road. I'm saying two-lane roads, prohibition.
I think we all got that one. So as it relates to what your desire is, but to, again,
if it trumps us on one road, gosh, let them go. I guess that's the way it's going to be.
It's a real mixed use. We promote and approve a lot of communities on that road, you know, and I just think we need to think about that too.
It may change. DLDOT may drop it in the future.
They could.
But you can't change a four-lane road. Four-lane roads, it might get a six-lane.
That is a true statement. So,
I guess I understand part of what you're saying, George. I mean, I would agree it shouldn't be out here in the middle of, out in the middle of a very rural area. But I was thinking about riding up 13A on the western side of the county.
Very familiar with it.
Route 404 to the Maryland line.
Yep.
I'm not sure I can go along with what you're saying. Those are not what I call rural roads. There's more traffic on 404 than there is 9% of this county.
Well, let me just ask a question. Is 404 being, is it under the DLDOT's recommendation or under the expansion to go to the four lanes?
No, sir.
From the Denton, from Maryland to the line, it is.
From Maryland out to give 404, Delaware's not going to do that.
Not anytime soon.
Do that.
It is.
I'm trying to remember exactly where it picks up. It's 9, but it's not 9 all the way through, and I can't exactly remember without diving back into
but to your point, we can't make decisions what the state's going to do, right? This is a county council decision.
That's true.
Getting back to your point there.
Well, the other thing is, it's not prohibiting, gentlemen, it's not prohibiting billboards, off-premise billboards. It is prohibiting just
electronic.
And you're also, the other argument would be, if you're going to have them, you're going to have 2,500 at minimum, if not more, because a two-lane road has more of an impact on the people than it does on a big four-lane road.
Sure.
So, if you don't agree, like I said, no sense beating a dead horse. I do what the best I can. I think it's in the best interest of the county. If you don't, that's fine.
Well,
if you want to designate 404, or like Mike says, there are a number of roads that have become highly traveled because of where they're going. Pull those out and maybe identify those also.
Yeah.
Say four-lane roads and 404. You know, and identify those. I'd be comfortable with that.
We'll have to visit this again, obviously, that might give some thought.
I think some more thought, but I think I understand your concern as it relates to the feedback from some is that it is not pleasing to the eye. It's very commercially, if you would, in a rural county, and we obviously want to preserve this county as best as we possibly can. However.
Most of 404 is Delaware line.
I understand. However, I think, in my mind, I think there should be a balance of sorts as it relates to this discussion and the private sector business owners. Because in the end, why shouldn't they? We can make decisions on distances, correct, as it relates to what your concern is. I understand that. And I think there's nobody refuting that. My concern is to mandate and dictate what the business owners believe is best for them and their business model. Truly is the concern that I would have.
On-premise sign, we're not talking about it. I agree with you 100%. A business on his on-premise sign.
No, we're not talking about on. We're talking about off.
Off-premise sign.
Just to reconfirm, right? We are talking about off.
That's correct.
Okay. So again, to me, if they want to invest the dollars, they feel that there's enough traffic to recoup the dollars that they invest. That's their decision.
They rent the space. It's the sign owner
decision.
That has the electronics or the static.
I understand.
It's not the business. The business just rents the space.
But my point is why are we going to mandate what they believe is best for them and their business, as it relates to distance?
Because we can.
Well, not doesn't mean we should. Doesn't mean we should.
Can I add?
So
I'm saying we should.
Mr. Robertson?
If I could, just something to
I think you're
going to
finish this up.
It brings it all a little bit maybe more into a practical application. To use some of the roads we've been talking about, keep in mind that billboards only are permitted on commercially zoned property.
Correct.
We've had actually a P&Z, we just had an application, which I won't identify, where one of the questions, frankly, I asked, because it was a small commercial zone application, was, do you intend to put a billboard on there? So that, I think that's something that needs to be in the county's consciousness when we look at rezonings on some of these roads that are predominantly residential. I'm going to bring it a little more full circle. The conversation we had earlier this morning or this afternoon, whatever it was, about the multiple zoning districts. That's also something that we would take into account, whether a billboard would be appropriate in those sub-commercial zoning classifications. So that as we go forward, we're talking about not just distances, but also, you know, there's certainly existing billboards, but there's not a lot of commercial necessarily on some of those roads, so that we can define better when somebody applies for a new zoning classification, whether that will lead to billboards or not. So that's sort of part of that equation. You got to keep in mind there's not a lot of commercial out there on some of these roads, so it's more going forward with new rezonings as to whether you think that's appropriate for a billboard to end up there possibly.
Well, what if we find that, you know, the western side of the county is you know, hurting for business and jobs and so forth. And it's not like that over here. Is there some way legally we can open that up to for the western side, and maybe some sort of hearing or something? I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we have a lot of them over here. Is that legal? Can you do that?
Well, there's a lot of commercial zoning over on the western side of the county that's available for billboards. That's kind of the opposite end of what we're talking about with some of these two-lane roads. So certainly, you know, that's
on two-lane roads.
Well, not necessarily on two-lane roads.
We're just talking about two-lane roads, aren't we?
Big highways.
Yes.
But that would go back to, you know, whether you think it's appropriate for rezoning on those two-lane roads that would enable not just a commercial business. But
No, we're talking about commercial zoning.
In my understanding, billboard is not a permitted use.
It's correct. You have to get a special use exception in order to.
And you have to have some reasons why you want it.
And it has to be zoned commercial.
It has to be zoned commercial, right.
That's right.
So there are reasons. Somebody comes in, they done it for a billboard on a commercial property. It's not automatic. You can deny it.
That's correct.
Right? And you can have reasons to deny it. Can a person say, like on a two-lane road, and I got a piece of commercial property, I go in, I want a billboard, and the board of adjustment says, or special use, the same board, but anyway, they says, that's fine, we'll let you have the billboard, but we're not going to let you do electronics. Can they do that?
Presently.
Can they do it currently?
Presently, I don't. We're allowed to put conditions on approvals, so they
on any on a board of adjustment.
There is a provision in the code that allows for the board to put conditions. We have seen situations where the board has approved a special use exception but denied variances. That's come up. I shouldn't say more often than not, but it has come up more than once, where somebody says, "Hey, I want to get a sign that's bigger than allowed or taller than allowed," and the board says, you can put your sign there, but we don't think you've met the standards for granting a variance. You know, that could be the kind of thing that you could look at is, do you want an applicant to have to go through an additional hurdle to have an electronic message center? And that's not something that I think's really been addressed.
Somebody in the back of the room.
I don't know if that.
On four lane roads, it doesn't bother me as much because I know they're 2,500 feet apart.
Yeah.
On two lane roads. At 2,500 feet, and like I say, driving through some of these rural areas that have limited number of commercial properties on them to begin with, and then we have a, you know, electronic billboard out again. Typically 404. I don't care what you say. It is largely still a rural two-lane road, as is 24 feet. You know, most of these roads. So I still have a problem with that, but they can deny it. They just haven't.
It's this special use exception standard is not a particularly strong, it's not a particularly high burden to carry as compared to variances.
It seems that way.
And the state code doesn't allow for use variances. So,
okay. That's going to take more conversation, I think. But we will.
So we've got one question accomplished.
And we will come back and we're going to have a day of silence.
Hash it out.
Sounds good to me, Mr.
President. Mr. President, if I could offer, I don't know what suggestions are, but I would hopefully that we can maybe try to find a date in July.
Sure.
Oh, so yes. If we could attempt to try to get this off the docket by the end of July would be a great goal.
My goal would be to have a date before, and so we got it done before the moratorium runs out again.
Before my birthday.
Sure.
That would be my goal as well. We share that goal, Mr. President.
That's very good. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to move on to grants, Mrs. Jennings.